call me Jonah. My parents did, or nearly did. They call me John. Jonah, John, if I had been a Sam, I would have been a Jonah still. Not because I have been lucky for others, but because somebody or something has compelled me to be certain places at certain times without fail. Conveyances and motives, both conventional and bizarre, have been provided. And, according to plan, at each appointed second, at each appointed place, this Jonah was there. Listen, when I was a younger man, two wives ago, 250,000 cigarettes ago, 3,000 quarts of booze ago, when I was a much younger man, I began to collect material for a book to be called The Day the World Ended. The book was to be factual. The book was to be an account of what important Americans had done on that day when the first atomic bomb had dropped on Hiroshima, Japan. It was to be a Christian book. I was a Christian then. Welcome to Art House Radio. I am your friend, maybe. Hopefully. I hope so. I didn't mean that to sound like I didn't want to be your friend. I certainly do. This is episode 99, and that was the first page of Kurt Vonnegut's Cat's Cradle. So, why not? I figured. I have yet to finish that one, but it's a good one. And it was standing right next to me, and I just thought I'd throw a little literature at you. I'm sorry that I'm so cultural and try to throw things at you. Okay, episode 99. We have two more until we put this aside and launch the new show. I would like to invite you to listen to this show first, and then secondly, to join the new show. I am inviting you to Troy Meets World, the new podcast that's going to be hitting the streets in the next couple of weeks. It'll be under the Art House family. It'll be up on iTunes. It'll be on all of the usual places you can find them, including TroyMeetsWorld.com. I'll have a link on ArtHouse43.com. And, you know, you can follow me at Troyston D, at TroyMeets_World. Oh, that person. Somebody who has Troy Meets World. Oh, they haven't posted anything since 2011, but they've got it. And I can't pretend like I want it because then they'll want money for it. Even though they probably, I don't know. I shouldn't presume that they are a capitalist pig. Just kidding. Just kidding. So I've got this thing going on, and it's called the Hallway Gallery. It's my apartment in Detroit is the outside hallway is a little sketch, kind of like Detroit. You know, it's on one side of the hallway, it's nice, and the other, you turn the corner and it's a little sketch. That's Detroit. Welcome. So I figured, why not have a little gallery? I put up a couple of frames, and I encouraged friends and strangers and colleagues, whoever. This is America, 2017. To send me pictures of anything they want, and I will put them up. And if I get a lot, I'll put them in rotation. And I've got the prints right in front of me. I did it last night, and some people sent some online, and they're ready to go in. They'll be up today in the Hallway Gallery. That is the Art House creation, the Hallway Gallery. I would encourage you to make your own Hallway Gallery. A foyer gallery, anything. How about a bathroom gallery where you can poop and look at art? Is there a difference? Maybe. If you're interested in sending something in, you can find me at ArtHouse43. That's Instagram and Twitter. And you can go to ArtHouse43.com, send me an email, find us on Facebook. The usual things. If you just type in the show or my name, it'll come up. This is not Soviet Russia. You can find things. Or North Korea, if you'd rather. Let's go to Troy at the DIA.
Thanks, Troy. I'm at the DIA in the Robert Jacobs Gallery. I believe in the African art section, and I'm looking at a piece called Movement No. 27 by Kwezi Owusu-Ankoma. And it's awesome. It's like a bunch of patterns, and I'll put a picture of it online, I promise this time, so that you can look at it. And it's got all these different symbols, almost like hieroglyphs. This is really stupid to describe a painting on a podcast, but the reason I'm bringing it up is because I've been thinking a lot about this question of place and where we are, and this particular work is inspired by like a piece of cloth. Called an Andinkra cloth in Ghana, and There's a huge example of a cloth behind me, but I'll take a picture of that as well. Although it's got glass, so then you can see me taking a picture, so it ruins everything because my reflection is in it. So the painting is inspired by this type of cloth. A docent just passed me, and she could probably tell me everything she needs to know about it. And I just had this really sharp feeling about wondering why we are so entranced by other cultures or being somewhere else. Is it like that we are looking for something better, or are we just quite simply able to appreciate everything outside of our own little world? I don't know. That's just a question. That's all I got. Back to you.
Great story. Okay, glad to have you back. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit today, if I could. And since we're winding this down, you know, I'm like a kid in high school. It's like June. I'm at like the beginning of Dazed and Confused. Like, I can't wait to get out. You know, school's out for summer. Alice Cooper's playing in my head. I can feel it coming. Okay, so I've got a little antsy. I decided I wanted to go over some. I wanted to play a little something for you. It's a classic art house thing, and I played it towards the beginning of this show, the very beginning. So you may not remember, but it's a little John Cage piece because I've been thinking a lot about meaning. And as you heard in that clip of Troy at the DIA, which stands for Detroit Institute of Art, in case you didn't know, which is a couple blocks from me. And it's great. I'm going there a couple times a week. I'm taking pictures, putting them on Instagram, and just trying to connect. I just walk down the hallways because it's free to anyone who lives in the county, which is a great thing. So I don't know who to thank for that, but thank you. And, you know, I just sort of walk through the halls and see whatever strikes me. And I try to focus on, like, say, 2 works, 3 works, maybe sometimes 5 or 6. And I'm discovering all these great things about these great passageways and hallways and these works that are sort of hidden around corners. And in that segment you heard today about the meaning, about the sort of the idea that we want meaning in everything. And, you know, I think that's I don't know what to say about it, because it's tough. We definitely want to have some sort of purpose, and we want to know that things are meaningful or that they are important to us or significant, and they certainly can be. It's hard to know when to distinguish between the times that we need it and the times that we don't. So let's play this John Cage clip about meaning and sound, especially because last week it came up when I was at MOCAD and people were talking about the sounds that came out of the Detroit riots in 67. By the way, quick plug here for Detroit, the movie coming out on August 4th, 2 days before yours truly's birthday. Looks pretty good. I hope they don't. The thing that worries me about this movie is that, is it going to glorify rioting? Because we're clearly living in a time where, and it feels like we're always living in that time, just certain people forget it, half the country. Like, I was listening to TJ Miller on the Nerdist podcast just a few minutes ago before I went on air here. And he was talking about how we're living in a time of crisis. Listen, I want to say something to TJ Miller and to, everybody else who thinks that way, particularly, Andy Kindler. Listen, Andy, I know you're not listening to this, so it doesn't matter. I'm just going to speak to Andy Kindler through the airwaves here and hope that it gets to him. I like following you. I think you're funny on your podcast. The world isn't going to end, and we've been in deep shit for decades. Okay? So half the country always forgets that we were still having problems. But it wasn't as bad, Troy. Now, listen here, Troy. I'm not going to take that kind of talk, see? Because our guy was better than your guy, and their guy is worse than our guy. You got it? There, mister, you need to get your story straight, because people, you listen to NPR, see, and they'll tell you about all the things that the last guy did that was great. We're not going to talk about drone attacks. We didn't close Gitmo. Listen, don't try to distract us with all that hullabaloo, Troy. We got problems now. Well, I'd say to this fake southerner liberal that I just invented, Well, we've been fucked for a long time. So if you you want to talk about Billy Boy and his saxophone blowing out the glass Steagall destruction out of his end of his saxophone, we can talk about that too if you want. Didn't like the Bushes, don't like Cheney, didn't like Obama, don't like Trump, blah 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 blah. I lost where I was going with this. Anyway. Well, one of the good things that come out of politics that is that, even though my memory may be affected, is that the legalization of marijuana seems to be on its way. And what that has to do with meaning or what I was just talking about, I have no idea. But let's enjoy this clip of John Cage. Take it away, John.
When I hear what we call music, it seems to me that someone is talking and talking about his feelings, are about his ideas of relationships. But when I hear traffic, the sound of traffic here on 6th Avenue, for instance, I don't have the feeling that anyone is talking. I have the feeling that sound is acting. And I love the activity of sound. What it does is it gets louder and quieter, and it gets higher and lower, and it gets longer and shorter. It does all those things which I'm completely satisfied with that. I don't need sound to talk to me. We don't see much difference between time and space. We don't know where one begins and the other stops. So that most of the arts we think of as being in time, and most of the arts we think of as being in space. Marcel Duchamp, for instance, began thinking of thinking of music as being not a time art, but a space art. And he made it a piece called Sculpture Musicale, which means different sounds coming from different places and lasting, producing a sculpture which is sonorous and which remains. People expect listening to be more than listening. And so sometimes they speak of inner listening or the meaning of sound. When I talk about music, it finally comes to people's minds that I'm talking about sound that doesn't mean anything, that is not inner, but is just outer. And they say, these people who understand that finally say, you mean it's just sounds, thinking that for something to just be a sound is to be useless. Whereas I love sounds just as they are. And I have no need for them to be anything more than what they are. I don't want them to be psychological. I don't want a sound to pretend that it's a bucket or that it's a president or that it's in love with another sound. I just want it to be a sound. And I'm not so stupid either. There was a German philosopher who's very well known, Immanuel Kant, and he said there are two things that don't have to mean anything. One is music, and the other is laughter. Don't have to mean anything, that is, in order to give us very deep pleasure. You know that, don't you? The sound experience, which I prefer to all others, is the experience of silence. And the silence almost everywhere in the world now is traffic. If you listen to Beethoven or to Mozart, you see that they're always the same. But if you listen to traffic, you see it's always different.
That was the brilliant John Cage. I did listen to something by him recently where he tried to... what was it? It was one of the few times where I heard Cage sort of stumble a bit in his logic, and I can't remember who he was referring to. I think it was Glenn Branca. If you look up John Cage argues with Glenn Branca, it was a performance of Mr. Branca's that Cage didn't like. He didn't like something about it, and the interview went on for about 30 minutes, and you really heard Cage retreat into this soft world that he typically creates. Now, I love John Cage, but it was nobody's perfect. Right. So sometimes you can't. Sometimes, like, Glenn Branca to me feels like a little aggressive. If you've seen that clip of him like online, you can just imagine that he's got his guitar back in the 60s and he's just like spazzing out, slamming chords. There's on the guitar. There are no rules happening. And people are watching. It's like performance art slash sculpture slash sound design, everything. And I can see why Cage didn't like that, because Cage grew up in a post-World War II era where everything was quiet. They had dropped enough bombs. And I think that probably stuck with him to where he's always soft-spoken and he always wants to chill things out. And man, I can get behind that. But I don't know and I'm not going to go into this too much, but I don't know that you can dismiss anything that's aggressive just because it doesn't fit. And I'm not saying that he's doing that, but I think somebody who's fast-paced and somebody who's slow, they tend to look at each other skeptically. Let's go to Troy on the streets.
Thanks, Troy. I'm in the mean streets of Detroit, out in front of the DIA, where I basically hang out all the time. It's like my second home, really. I just walked out and I specifically looked at a couple of works. One of them was in the Native American Gallery. They put some really interesting figures on some of the cloth. Some creepy dudes. So there was a... There's just like this documentary on HBO called like the... something about a guy that's tall and it's the Slender Man. Do you know what I'm talking about? The thing on the cloth in the Native American Gallery looked kind of like that. What's the deal with this Slender Man? Has anybody seen this documentary? You should tweet at me, at arthouse43. And let me know how it is, because I kind of want to watch it, but I'm not a big fan of serial killer documentaries. I'm not saying that these girls are serial killers. They believe that the Slender Man was real. It's like this mythological creature, I guess, that millennials are into. I have no idea if it's a millennial thing or not. And they basically took their friend out to the woods and killed her because the Slender Man told them to do it. When really it was probably a boyfriend thing, or who knows. But it looks pretty spooky. Anything that doesn't have a face is always spooky, especially if it's tall and slender like Jack in Nightmare Before Christmas. Although Jack's kind of endearing. He has a face, I just mean tall and slender. If you blotted his face out and he just talked in like garble, that'd be pretty fucking scary. That movie would not sell it, or it would sell... It would sell either more or less, but not the same amount. That's what I'm proposing to you. So, I don't understand why the Native American galleries don't get the same space, or they don't get the kind of spaces that other areas do. And as we were saying earlier about the African art, shouldn't... I mean, Africa's a long way from here, isn't it? But the Ojibwe and the Huron and the Chippewa tribes, those are all around here. Now, they didn't maybe make the kind of art that we would think of when we talk about art. We traditionally think in this, at least since the 1700s, we think in that Western sense of like paintings and canvas and sculpture. Maybe they had their own thing. You know, they put it on cloth, or the clothing they designed was the art. So, for some reason, that maybe that's not flashy enough for us or something. I'm not sure. I've always wondered that, because it always, if you go to any museum, you look, they're good galleries, but they're not devoted to making it sort of a feature gallery. It's never in a featured gallery. Maybe you have to go to a different type of museum, but maybe also Native Americans potentially were busy getting food and enjoying life and didn't have time to make galleries as, like, homages to themselves. Take that, Europe. Back to you.
Excellent point, Troy. Native Americans, they don't seem to get enough credit for anything, it seems like. And I don't know why that is. I think it's just like you, like Troy was saying, because it doesn't really fit. And I'm not saying it in that in a bad way. I'm just saying it doesn't really fit in our world of we want to see the latest Van Gogh. Oh, there's a Basquiat exhibit. Let's go see it. That's great and everything because Basquiat's an American. But you know, I kind of like I like the idea of getting into the to the local thing. Keep it local. Isn't that the phrase? Isn't that what Whole Foods totes, even though they, I took a picture the other day of them importing something, tomatoes or something from Mexico? Yeah, keep it local. And it applies to art, too, is my point. Which is why I've got that hallway gallery going up. So, listen, check out the hallway gallery online. I'll put some pictures up today. It should be up in, you know, a couple of hours. Check it out. Tell me what you think. Do you like the idea? I'm trying to curate as many shows as I can to get all these shows under my belt when I leave this apartment in Detroit. I know I just moved in here, but I'm not going to stay here forever. There are other better places, apartments to live in or houses. I'm a man of space. I like space, not just the stars and the cosmos and all that, but actual physical space. Sometimes you have your space taken away from you and the song, the 80s hair band, Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone, starts playing in your head. You think, I really wish I had a tomato garden. Anyway, once I leave this place, it's a perfect gallery space. I'm going to have shows here. So if you're in the Detroit area and, you know, you listen to this show and you're going to switch over to Troy Meets World, happening in a couple of weeks, and I will upload an episode telling you, an art house episode telling you that Troy Meets World is out. I will do that, okay? Yeah, so if you're in the area, come check it out. So that's where this is going. I just want to curate a lot of things. Let me know what you think. I don't know what anything means, but I like the idea of coming home and seeing friends or strangers or colleague people who cared enough to send in art. I get to look at it every time I come and go to my little apartment here in Detroit City, and it connects us in a deep and meaningful and cosmic way. Thanks for listening. Art House Radio is brought to you by people like you who go to our website, arthouse43.com. Excuse me. And troymeetsworld.com. They click on donate and then they make a donation. You can also go to either website and click on the Amazon link before you shop. It brings a little money to the show. At Art House 43. I said that like a real Michigan mom. At Our House 43. Make sure to go to Art House 43, guys. Sounds a little like Louis Anderson. I have a better Louis Anderson. My next podcast is going to be all impressions, and they're all going to be terrible. That's my promise to you. I will do an impressions podcast. They will all be terrible. I don't know when I'm going to do it. I wish I could go back and study college again, and I would totally major in impressions. That would be awesome. Or Kids in the Hall University. Hey, I think I just hit something there. Okay, I will see you for episode 100. That's coming up in 2 days. And we will say au revoir for a while, at least, to each other. And it'll be a heartfelt episode. And coming up next week, I'll be talking with the executive director of MOCAD. I can say that with certainty. It's been scheduled, and we're going to be doing it from Mike Kelly's homestead, which is an exhibit right next to the museum. Mike, I won't talk too much about it because I'll talk about it in the episode, but Mike Kelly rebuilt his childhood home and made it like a art space. Isn't that cool? Super cool. So I think we're going to be in there. I don't know. We'll see. That's happening on Monday, so that'll go up next week. And that could be an episode 101. I might swamp cast it. Do you know what swamp casting is? It's where you record one episode and then it gets uploaded to a bunch of different ones because people have multiple, or, you know, people who each have their own podcast come together or whatever. Okay, I've blabbed for enough. I will see you in a couple of days. I love you. Enjoy the sunshine. It's a little too hot for me, but get a nice glass of wine, sit in front of a fan, and read Kurt Vonnegut's Cat's Cradle. Until next time, friends.